So our scripture this morning is Luke 12, 49 through 56. So this is Jesus speaking. And the title in my Bible says, Jesus, the cause of division. How appropriate. Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No. I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three, and they will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? So I look forward to hearing Micah's message on this rather challenging scripture.
Morning. So Jesus says, I've come to cast fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already ablaze. And he says he came to bring peace, not peace, but division. It's kind of a weird thing for the Prince of Peace to say. And at least for me, hearing these words right now in this cultural, historical, political moment we're in, I'm tempted to say, well, I hope you're happy, Jesus. The last decade has been fire and division enough for me. And that's what we've been seeing, a nation divided between teams red and blue. You know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember back when the red versus blue was a Coke Pepsi thing. But things have gotten serious. Riots in streets and insurrections and Capitol buildings. Hatred boiling over on social media and fistfights on airplanes. Is this enough fire for you, Jesus? Have we seen enough division? I wrote in my text here, we're seeing a level of societal breakdown that's unprecedented in our lifetimes, but I realized I'm a little young. There might be some times before I was alive, there was some pretty serious societal breakdown. But for me, it's the most I've seen. But maybe some who have lived through the 60s might have some stories to tell. But we're in a period of a lot of societal breakdown. Let's put it that way. And it's not clear whether things are going to get better soon or whether they're going to get worse. And I'm betting on the latter. And so is this enough for you, Jesus? We had enough fire and division yet? That question seems wrong. Because it seems to me that all the social fracturing we're seeing can't be what Jesus meant when he talked about division, about wanting that division. Well, we need to know what he meant, because this passage just sort of lifted out of scripture and read on its own sounds really scary. What is Jesus's goal? Is it this breakdown of the country of red versus blue that blazes with hatred against itself until nothing's left except snarky social media posts and gun violence? So if, like me, you're thinking that can't possibly be what Jesus meant, well, I would say you're right. It's important to go back to the beginning of Luke. So this reading is from chapter 12 of Luke. Back in chapter 3 of Luke, John the Baptist is out in the wilderness beyond the Jordan baptizing, preaching a baptism of repentance. And John says that he's not the Messiah because John merely baptizes with water. He says the Messiah is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, the fire thing. Okay, he'll baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this is literally what happens in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, which, by the way, the book of Acts is written by Luke, too. It's like one book, really. Gospel of Luke and Acts, one book, really. So on the day of Pentecost, when all the disciples were gathered together in Jerusalem, it says that divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And it says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But here in this passage in chapter 12, Jesus is saying, the fire is coming, and I wish it were here, but it's not quite time yet. He says, I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it's completed. So what baptism is Jesus talking about? Because Jesus had already been baptized by John in the Jordan. What further baptism does he need? Well, for Jesus' disciples at the time, it was probably a pretty confusing thing for Jesus to say. But for those of us who know how the story ends, his meaning seems pretty clear. Jesus' baptism is his death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus must die and be raised up by God before the fire can come. Jesus has to ascend into heaven and to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And then, finally, the Father will send the Holy Spirit and fire. And what will this spiritual fire do? What will the presence of the Holy Spirit mean for those who receive it? To receive the Holy Spirit is to be drawn deep into a mystery. On the one hand, we become more fully ourselves. We become the person we were created to be. That all starts coming into focus. And at the same time, we're drawn to something bigger. We become a part of the life of God. And we become a part of a new body, a new community. We become members of one another, fingers and toes of the body of Christ, and citizens of the kingdom of God. We're united into a new life, a new vision, a new breath breathing inside all of us, revealing who we are and where we are to go together. So there's probably more than two things, but there's two things I could identify that are certain when we receive the Holy Spirit. And the first thing that is certain is unity. And the second thing that is certain is division, which is kind of weird. Let me explain. When we become part of this new living, breathing body of Christ, we're not only called into something, we're called out of something as well. To become citizens of the kingdom of heaven means becoming resident aliens in the kingdoms of this world. Our families, our jobs, our friends, everything gets put into new perspective. Everything's measured and judged by this new life in the Spirit. And it's the gap between this new life that we're being drawn into and our old ways of living in the world, our old relationships and loyalties, that leads to the division that Jesus talks about. So when someone's a drug addict and wants to get sober, they often have to stay away from the people that they hung out with before, because those people are the people most likely to pull them back into that old lifestyle of drug use. It's the same way with sin. When we're brought into this new life in Jesus, a lot of the old patterns and relationships may need to be broken, and in some cases broken quickly. We may be called to cut ties with many of the elements of our old earthly citizenship. This can even lead to conflict in our most precious relationships. As Jesus says so starkly in Luke, it can be father against son, mother against daughter, family against family, friends against friends. it's important to count the cost of the journey that we've been called into. It's crucial that we be realistic with ourselves about what it means to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We can't take our relationships and loyalties lightly. We're called to subordinate all of our decisions and relationships and jobs, everything, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the discernment of the body. That can mean division and conflict and distress. But despite all appearances, this is good news. The gospel is good news. So despite the words that Jesus is using and some things that I think for me at least can be a little bit frightening, Jesus is not delivering bad news in Luke 12. The fire that Jesus talks about is cleansing. The Spirit is unifying. The division of our old lives is in the service of forming an even more amazing unity together with our brothers and sisters in the Spirit. This message of Jesus is good news for us. It's also good news for the world that we live in. In our culture, we're so divided about the things, about all sorts of things that, while certainly important, are not the ultimate allegiance that God calls us to. Our society is a house divided, but we, the church, have been empowered to be one people in Jesus. Berkeley Friends Church isn't a perfect community. And the laughter, maybe putting it mildly. But I want to tell you this morning that we can see the good news of the Holy Spirit and of fire in this community. And maybe in a way that may or may not be surprising to some of us. Because we've been divided from the world so that we could be drawn together in strange and surprising ways. We're not a monoculture. We're diverse in ways visible and invisible, in ways that are unexpected in a time like this. To put a fine point on it, we've got progressives at this church, and we've got conservatives at this church. We're united in our love for Jesus and one another, but in many other ways, we think differently. We hang together in spite of it. We cohere because Christ is our head and our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. Again, maybe this is surprising. Maybe you didn't realize you were going to church with conservatives. I bet you in Berkeley you realize you're going to church with some progressives. But if it surprised you, it shouldn't, because this is church. This is the people of God. That should be par for the course. Jesus has drawn us together because he's divided us from our partisan loyalties. He's called us to our ultimate loyalty in him. He's divided us from the world around us and drawn us together to be friends. This is Jesus' gift to us. It's good news. In this time of great division and rancor and hatred, God has divided us differently to be a blessing to the world. So as we continue our journey together in this land that seems to be shattering, let's remember this gift that God has given us. Let's remember how we've been divided and brought out. Let's remember that we are resident aliens, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and that our loyalty is not to political camps, but to the love and power and justice of Jesus. Let's embrace the freedom he's given us to love, to build, to bless, to speak truth. We have been delivered, divided, and brought out from the raging of the reds and the blues. Let's use this freedom to build up and to heal.